trend producing profits for today's investors. With oil prices skyrocketing, inflation will follow, causing gold and silver to rise to new highs. Some analysts predict gold and silver to rise 30% or more in the coming year. You can benefit from rising gold and also protect your savings. During inflationary times such as we have now, gold has the potential to rise to $1,000 or more. The true key to successful investing is proper diversification. Many analysts recommend 5 to 10% of your liquid holdings be invested in gold and silver. Some of your funds should also be in safe income-producing assets like I-bonds that may enable you to increase your income with greater safety. For free information on precious metals and a free investor information package, call Goldline at 800-827-4653. That's 800-827-4653, or visit them on the web at goldline.com.
The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to Body, Mind, and Balance, a weekly program devoted to celebrating the balance between physical health and mental health. Our show explores ways to integrate physical and mental health into a lifestyle of overall wellness. Our hosts are two professionals with diverse expertise and backgrounds. Corey Bank is a sports psychologist. Valerie Shinbaum is a psychotherapist. More information about our guest host and our show can be found at our website at www.bodymindandbalance.com. Together, we are working towards achieving body, mind, and balance. And good afternoon. Here we are at Body, Mind, and Balance once again. I'm your host for today, Valerie Shinbaum. We're at AM 860 WWDB. And before we get started, I want to make sure I give you our call-in phone number in case you're out there listening on this beautiful, beautiful June day. The phone number is area code 610-664-4100. You can also visit us at our website, www.bodymindandbalance.com. Today's topic is single in a married world. It's the month of June, the traditional month of weddings. And I have some really exciting guests here in the studio. I can't wait for us to talk. We were all saying before the show, this could be like a 5 million hour program because it's such a big topic. So with me today in the studio, I have Deborah Reist, Brian Ramona, and Adina Matiso. And we're all different ages. We're all different marital statuses. We've got lots and lots to talk about. So welcome to all three of you.
Thank you.
Hi, Valerie.
All right.
Hello.
Hi. So I don't even know where we should start. There's so much to talk about. Single in a married world. Big, big topic. I think no matter what our marital status is, it's we live in a married world. There's just no getting around it. Even though we have a 60% divorce rate and we hear all the horror stories about relationships and marriage and, oh, I'd never be married to them and yada, 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 and blended families and step families and all these different things. And yet there is that push, that yearning, that desire, that desperation sometimes to be married. What do you think?
It's one of those things that I struggled with for a long time. Now that I, at least according to my driver's license, I'm approaching 50. There is that pressure from without and within to be in some kind of a relationship, some kind of a couple, right, to be not alone. And you don't want to end up alone the rest of your life, do you? And,
right.
And it became I had to work on myself. I had to get to the point where I felt comfortable with who I was. And that took a long time and a lot of things that I had to go through to purge some of my youth to get to that point where I was happy enough with myself where I could be comfortable with somebody else.
Sounds like me. I feel the same way. Deb, you have an interesting story. You want to tell a little bit about your story? I love your story.
My story about me being so old when I got married. Yes, I was very happily single for a very long time. I always said to my friends that I would not get married till I was 45. Well, it happened at 35, and that's what happened. It just kind of ran its course, and I ended up married. I have a beautiful daughter, and I think that you have to not try to feel the pressure if other people are telling you, well, you should be married. Because we hate that word should anyway, don't we, Valerie?
Yes, I hate that word should.
Yeah.
That's a horrible word.
Yeah, I think you have to do what you're happy doing. I think by living your life, eventually you will find the person that you are to be with, if you are to be with someone. But for those 35 years, I was always not fighting the battle, but listening to the comments. Well, you're this old, you're not married, and you're... Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's right, I am, but I'm doing so many other things, and that's just one part. And I really didn't care that I got married or not. I was living my life and enjoying myself.
So I'm with you. I'm 46. I've never been married. And I know that there have been times when people have said to me, about me. I've heard about me. Well, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? You know, is there something wrong with her? I mean, I've had people think I was a lesbian. They made that assumption. They would say, well, she must be a lesbian because she hasn't gotten married yet. And I've actually had people tell this to me. So I know that that happens. You know, people look at us and say, well, don't you want to get married someday? My students ask me this all the time because I teach college, and some of the young girls in my class is like, well, don't you want to get married someday? And they sound so afraid. And I say, sure, you know, I haven't ruled it out, you know, but I won't. I'd rather be alone on my own than be married to the person who isn't the right partner for me. And that's important. Now, Adina comes to us from the next generation, I think, sometimes, you know? So your friends are just starting to go through that whole set of journeys, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm 24 years old, and all my friends are, especially my guy friends, they're all hanging out right now down the shore, and they are in absolutely no rush to get married whatsoever.
Right.
And I'm not either.
Right.
Just because I'm a girl doesn't mean I want a ring immediately.
Right.
My sister's getting married this summer. She's 27.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It is on my mind.
Sure.
I definitely have had the thought I would like to have kids by a certain age.
What's the age?
I guess I would be like 34.
Okay. All right. You got a 10-year window there. It's a pretty healthy window. It's good. It's a 10-year window. Good.
But I want to make sure I'm with the right guy before I don't want to settle for anyone.
Good.
Very good attitude.
Good attitude.
I'm very independent.
It's good.
I have three jobs.
All right.
I love to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do your own thing.
If he fits in the right way.
Right. Whoever the he happens to be, right?
Right.
Right.
Well, I am seeing someone right now.
Yeah. You know, that's a good word, settling. Let's spend a few minutes on that wonderful word, because I've actually had students. I did this lecture in one of my classes in the spring. We're talking about, you know, age and this kind of thing and something about settling. And a woman in my class said, well, the thing is, I have to settle because I'm not going to get past a certain... We were doing the past a certain age thing. So she said, well, if I get past a certain age, I'm just going to settle because I can't see myself being single past whenever, right? And fortunately for me, this was midway through the semester, so my class had already gotten to know me pretty well, and they know how I think about the word settling. It's almost the way I feel about the word should, right, Deb?
Yes.
So, you know, they all jumped on her. It was great. I mean, it's very, very, you know, camaraderie-like. It wasn't mean or anything, but people were like, why would you settle? You're better than that. You know, don't go there. Don't settle. But I think sometimes people do. What do you think?
I think it's not just settling. It's that... it's a combination of the internal and the external again. It's mm-hmm. you feel like you have to be at a certain place in life, and mm-hmm. and society puts that I don't want to call it an age pressure, but there is mm-hmm. that, you know, you have to be at a certain level at a certain time. You're 30, maybe you should start be thinking about having kids and,
right.
and being married and all of that. And for me, it was one of those things. There were things that I wanted to do in my life, and I had a career path that I knew was going to be very difficult. I was a sportscaster for a lot of years. And, of course, as a man, and you meet women, and the first thing you tell them that you're a sportscaster, they look at you like, oh, you're into sports. So for a long time, I was like, well, okay, this one's not going to work real well. And you work through those things of who, you got to find out who you are.
Right.
And that was part of who I was at the time. I grew out of that. I grew into other things. And I had to find where I wanted to be and who I wanted to be. Because
right.
where I was... when I was 30 is so different than when I turned 40.
Absolutely. I agree. And I said this to you all before the program. I went through that hole because I think as women, sometimes not so much as men, but I think women do this, the desperate thing, because that's another key word I want to get into a little bit. And I think desperate leads to settling many times. And I think the desperate thing is about ageism. So at 25, everybody in their Aunt Lillian got married. I went to more weddings that year. Adina, I'm sure you just said, what did you say?
I said three weddings in 8 days.
Three weddings in 8 days.
Shower.
My God. And that's how it is. Everybody rushes for that whole, oh God, I'm 25. Hurry up, hurry up. And then I went through the same thing again at 30. And then I went through the same thing again at 35. Those were tough birthdays. Because a lot of people around me were married, you know, married with kids, and then the vacation home, you know, and it was the we this and the we that, and we had a Christmas tree, and we did this for this, and da, 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 that. And, you know, yeah, there I was, you know, I'm single. Okay. Now I'm 40. Okay. And it does. It takes a lot to think about that, to figure that out. But I think for some people, myself at least, I know that if I was in a relationship and was considering it seriously, it would have been settling had I married some of the people I'd been with before. And I wasn't going to go there.
I know I wasn't in an emotional place for a long time, and a lot of that has to do, I mean, you could get into this whole psychobabble part of it, mm-hmm. you know, childhood, very difficult father, mm-hmm. very demanding, didn't mm-hmm. really have a good self-esteem. I was on television as a, you know, in my 30s, and, you know, they don't put ugly people on TV, usually. And I thought, I look in the mirror, and I said, I would just not believe that I was worthwhile. And I picked people that fed into that for a long time, so I needed to heal myself in that mm-hmm. perspective and, mm-hmm. and really understand that I was worthy of being with someone who didn't treat me poorly.
Right.
And, you know, I got lucky, you know, at 44, I met someone who I'm still with today. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do that if I had met her. You know, we joke sometimes, gee, why didn't we meet 18 years ago? And then, you know, Alex, her son, would be our son. I wasn't 18 years ago, we wouldn't have worked because I wasn't ready to accept someone as great and as good as she is to me at that point because I didn't believe I deserved it.
Uh-huh. Probably neither was she when you think about it.
True.
Yeah. Something else that you just pointed out that I like is that I think we do have to take a look at who we are and where we're going. Sometimes life experience speaks to that. And I'm not saying you can't have true love at 18. You know, Adina, you were telling us earlier that your grandparents... What did you say? Your one set of grandparents were 11 and 12 when they met.
They sorted each other on Parkside Avenue.
That's awesome. See,
and they were married for how long?
62 years?
62 years.
Unbelievable. That's awesome. And your other grandparents, they're still alive, right?
Yeah. They've been married over almost 62 years, too.
That's amazing.
Maybe 63 now.
That's amazing. And I know some people, two people I was telling you guys, I have two people from my high school class who met in 10th grade, and they're still together. You know, they have two kids, they have a house, they're happy, whatever. I mean, that's great when you find that. That's a wonderful thing. But not everybody experiences that. Sometimes you don't really find that fit that works with you until you've done some living yourself and figured out some things about you.
I think there's an exception to the rule.
I think sometimes it's better to see what else is out there. Not
you do?
That, well, I mean, right now I'm in a happy relationship, mm-hmm. but I'm not looking for it to end or anything, but... Mm-hmm. If something were to go wrong, I would work for it to continue to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But if it doesn't work out, I'm still going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the message that we need to send.
Yeah, I think that's important. You asked a question earlier that we'll get back to after the break, but you said you were asking Brian something about what would you say to people when you hear women say, I'm with somebody, but he's not ready. So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. We're at WWDB AM 860 WWDB. This is Body, Mind, and Balance. Remember, our call-in phone numbers, area 610-664-4100. Join us after the break for more discussion on single in a married world. We'll be right back.
So, Deb, what did you do last night?
It was a fairly slow evening. Before I wrapped my latest client's gifts, I created the customer list for a small business owner, handled research for another client, and ran a few errands for one of my seniors who wasn't able to get out of the house.
Wow, Deb, it sounds like you could use your own personal assistant.
No way. There are enough hours in the day if you use them wisely.
You say that, but I'm always working on something. There just never seems to be enough time to get everything done.
That's because you haven't called Yours, Mine, and Ours, personal assistant and concierge services. We'll do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. Check out the Yours, Mine, and Ours website at www.yoursmineandourswithanh.com.
Maybe I should try that.
You know, Brian, I think you should.
Wouldn't you enjoy more time and freedom? Call Yours, Mine, and Ours, named Best of Philly 2005. Dial 215-778-3704. Then relax.
Dr. John D. Alessandro of the Doylestown Center for Psychological Services is a licensed psychologist, a certified school psychologist, and on the faculty at Temple University. Dr. D. Alessandro has over 30 years of experience with therapy, testing, and consultation. A sample of his specializations include ADHD, learning disabilities, relationship issues, and admission testing. At the Doylestown Center for Psychological Services, Dr. D'Alessandro will provide thorough, caring, and insightful treatment. Dr. D'Alessandro may be reached at 215-340-2410. The number again is 215-340-2410. You may also email Dr. D'Alessandro at docjohn3@comcast.net. You will receive a free initial phone consultation from Dr. D'Alessandro if you mention that you heard this advertisement.
Okay, welcome back. This is Body, Mind, and Balance. I'm Valerie Shinbaum. We're here at AM 860 WWDB. And today we're talking about being single in a married world. Our call-in phone number is area 610-664-4100 if you're listening and you have anything to say or would like to tell us anything about yourself. Also, don't forget we have a website, www.bodymindandbalance.com. So here in the studio with me are Adina Mattiso, Brian Ramona, and Deb Reist, and we're talking about single in a married world. Just before we went to commercial, we were talking about a question Adina was asking that was a really good question. Because you're in that place where you're telling us that a lot of your girlfriends are with their boyfriends for some time. And of course, your girlfriends are sort of starting that salivating thing about, you know, where is this going? Is it going to happen? Whatever. And the boyfriends that they're with are saying things like, they're not ready. So what are these girls supposed to do? What advice should we give them?
Don't push. Do not push. It's funny because it will happen organically.
Yeah, if it's meant to happen.
If it's meant to happen. And, a lot of times there will be a breakup which will spur on the guy to say, wait a minute. You know, I think I made a mistake here. And then it'll end up working out anyway. It's the guys will come to it if it's right. But I think men feel the pressure to just, hey, you know what? When I'm ready, I'll be ready. Right? And you'll know when I'm ready. Just give me time to do my thing, right, and let's grow together. Guys aren't touchy-feely. They generally are not. I was a little bit weird in that respect because I was way more emotional. A lot of times more emotional than people I chose. But most men, they just need to be gently pulled to it, not pushed into it.
You know what? And I'm gonna disagree with you just a little bit because some men that I've met have said, and these are married guys. I have a married guy in my class. He used to be a bartender. He's a very, very funny guy. He's very much, you know, outgoing, handsome, sporty, very interesting person. He said he knew that his wife was for him because of the way she laughed. And it was all about that. And every man I've ever talked to who's married said they knew within 20 seconds that they wanted to marry their wife. What, you're rolling your eyes over there, Adina. You're looking skeptical.
I just can't imagine any of my guy friends being married anytime soon.
Well, maybe they haven't met the right one for them yet.
Maybe not.
Yeah. But they say every man I've ever talked to who was married has said, I'm encouraged by that. I think that's really valid. And these are men of all different ages, too. So I think that's really exciting. So I hear what you're saying, and I do know what you're talking about. But I think for these girls, the advice I would give is let's not worry about where it's going. If that's at all possible, if it's possible for them to just completely go into the cone of silence. Some of us are old enough to remember what the cone of silence is. That's from Get Smart. So, you know, let's just rule it out. And Deb brought up a very good point as we were working on prep for the show. She said, you know, every relationship teaches us something. So now you'll be after the show, Adina, you're going to be the sage voice of wisdom for all of your female friends.
I already am.
All right.
Go Adina.
Adina, you write a column about relationships. Do your friends always read your column?
Mm-hmm. It's called The Dating Dance. It's in the Jewish Exponent.
That is so awesome. Do you ever find yourself writing about any of them?
All the time.
Yeah. I saw that in the article that you did where Corey and I were quoted. But
I usually change their names.
Uh-huh. But they know who they are, don't they?
Uh-huh. Well, if it's positive and they let me, I'll keep their name.
Oh, cool.
I don't want to always talk about myself.
Yeah. Do you see yourself doing something with all those columns? Like, are you going to write a book?
Hopefully one day.
You go. That's exciting.
She has good goals.
She does have good goals. All right. So then that's one of the things. So, Brian, you're saying don't push.
Don't push. And because you do bring up a good point, and I will agree with that. The kind of that instant spark thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that this person was for me because.
Mm-hmm.
because I kind of felt that with Teresa. At least she tells me that I felt that because she says the way I looked at her the minute I saw her, that I knew in my head that she was the one. She says that I said that in my head, though I don't know how she knew. But it's funny that you learn after a while, after I was with her for a little bit, I kind of knew. I think after the first date, I knew. But if she had said to me, oh, you know, this is going so well, you know, we should move right in together, I would have been like, time out. So it's don't rush it.
Right.
But the guy that, you know, the guys that say that I knew the second that I met her, I knew it was her laugh. If the woman had said to them at that point, let's do this, let's get married, let's just run and get married, they would have said, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I need to be, you know, I need to know a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. My brother and sister-in-law went through that a little bit because my sister-in-law will say, she knew, I think she says she knew, she'll shoot me if I get this wrong, but I'll do my best, somewhere within the first few dates they had together. And they dated for about 3 years or so before they got engaged. And my brother, like you're saying, he had his things that he needed to get done. He needed he had a list, you know, in his head of things that he wanted to have in place. So he was very much the kind of guy you're describing, Brian, about wanting to have stuff done and ducks in a row, I guess, is a good expression. A lot of guys use that expression.
Right.
So, Deb, how about you? You're married.
I am married.
Yes, you are.
And what you said is so funny because you don't think about all these things all the time. But I met my husband on a blind date. It was a setup.
Uh-oh.
And he always says, well, yeah, I met you, and I knew right away you were the one I was going to marry, but then it took me 2.5 years to convince you. So I guess people do say that.
They do. They sure do. They sure do. And I hear this just as often from men as I do from women. You know, you'll always hear women, I knew he was the one, blah, blah. Yeah, right, whatever. But anyway, I like to hear it from men because I hear it just as frequently from men as I do from women. You know, there's just that something. And we were talking about this before the show, too, about the things we look for. Because today I was telling you a story about my friend. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and we were talking about the checklists we all seem to have in our heads. You know the checklist, don't you? The ones about height. The ones about what kind of a car they drive, right? I know, Adina. It's way shallow, but that's what people do, you know?
Well, that's what women do.
There's a song out there that goes, girls don't like boys, they like cars and money.
They like cars and money? I don't know this song. Who sings the song?
I don't even know.
Oh, my gosh. Girls don't like boys, they like cars and money. Okay, I'll buy that. But you do, you hear this from people all the time. Or for men, okay, let's do the things that men look for. Come on.
And they're all physical attributes, and
physical
I don't think
attributes.
We need to really...
That's right.
It's a family show. So.
Yes, I know. But that's just it.
Yeah.
There are things on the list that start with the externals, and we start with... Deb, you and I talked about this, the whole tall, dark, and handsome thing.
Right.
Right.
You kind of set some goals.
Yeah.
Although I never even did that. I just like to be surprised. So I didn't create my list ahead of time.
Right. But I think for me, I know my list has changed. And I said this before the show, I have different words on my list now. And there are things that are intangible. Acceptance, respect, regard, admiration, support, understanding, affirmation. Those kinds of things really make a lot of sense. And you know them when you find them. You know them when you have them. And hopefully you have them about yourself. Adina, you're writing all these notes.
I'm better with words when I write them down.
All right. Speak on.
I was just going to say, you should know a person is the one, if that's what we want to call it.
Yeah.
When he or she, well, I'm going to say he, when he says her wants are just as important to him as they are to her.
I like that. That's a good thing, because we were talking before the show about compromise, and Brian, you were telling a very amusing story about how you're gardening now.
Yes.
And you're cleaning now.
Yes. Not enough for Teresa's.
You should want to do the dishes.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
No, that's for your boyfriend, right?
No. It's from the movie The Breakup.
Oh, right. I guess we're going to have to see that movie now.
Yeah. I'm going to have to put that on the list after a couple of guy flicks that I've got on my list. But
but that's funny, too. A lot of my students will talk about, I won't go see this movie. This came up in a couple of my classes in the spring. We were talking about the movie Brokeback Mountain. And so many guys, I'm not going to go see that movie. I'm not going to go see that movie. That's not a movie for men. I can't watch that movie. I can't watch that movie. And I'm sure we all know why. And a lot of the women in my classes had seen the movie, and they said, you know, there's a lot of reasons to go see this movie. But I'll hear men say, I'm not going to go to a movie that's a chick flick. Brian, tell me you're not one of those guys.
No, I'm not one of those guys, because I think the first movie we saw together, Teresa and I, was Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay, so that's a chick flick.
It was definitely a chick flick.
I didn't want to see that. Yeah. It's actually a good movie.
It's a cute movie. Yeah,
I'm also, in my guy role, not interested in seeing Brokeback Mountain, because it makes me uncomfortable. I will admit it. Uh-huh. It does make me uncomfortable. Now, I can appreciate the aspect that it's a love story and the interpersonal relationship between the guys and their wives and how that affects them. But I don't want to see it, okay. I guess. And it's not like it's challenging my masculinity at all. Mm-hmm. It's just it doesn't interest me. And mm-hmm. I think I'll pass.
Mm-hmm. But it's interesting when I hear, I'm sorry, go ahead, Deb. I'll say my point in a minute.
Whether you're single in a married world or married in a married world, uh-huh. if you want to go see a movie by yourself,
right,
do it, and don't sit home because you don't have anybody to go
That's
with.
Right. That brings up a very important point, because I hear people say, this is usually girls about their boyfriends, I want to go see this movie, but my boyfriend won't go with me. And right away, Deb, that brings your point right to the right, exactly. right. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. So I'll say to these students who bring this up, so go without him, but he should want to go with me. And that goes back to you, Adina, but he should want to do the dishes.
Well, I think that there's certain things that a significant other should do because it means a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a point where you have to learn, just do it yourself or find someone else to do it with.
Excellent. Yes, you're right. You're right. Because again, and we'll talk more about this after the break, the idea is that even if you find the right partner, and we spent some time talking about this last month on Alone versus Lonely, even if you find the right life partner and you're perfectly happy with that partner, that doesn't mean they're going to fulfill and meet every need you'll ever possibly have throughout your whole entire long life on this earth. Did you like how I stretched that out and made it like totally meaningful? So it's the idea that even within the whole single in a married world or married in a married world and all that kind of stuff, we still have to realize that we continue to grow and change and do a lot of things that our partners are not always going to be there with us for. Anyway, so when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about being single in a married world, or as Deb puts it, married in a married world. And I'm here with Adina Matiso, Brian Ramona, and Deb Reist in the studio. It's AM 860 WWDB. I'm Valerie Shinbaum. This is Body, Mind, and Balance. Don't forget, our call-in phone number is area 610-664-4100. Stay with us. We're coming right back.
Did you know that 114,000 people will be diagnosed with cancer in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware? And that 49,000 people in our region will die from the disease this year alone? Hi, I'm Valerie Shinbaum, co-host of Body, Mind, and Balance, and proud team rider of the Penn Abramson Cancer Center bike team. And I'm here to tell you we can make a difference. Sign up now and join the Penn Abramson Cancer Center bike team for the American Cancer Society's 34th annual bikeathon on Sunday, July 9th, starting at 7 a.m. at the Ben Franklin Bridge. Join the Penn team and help fight cancer. It's easy to join. Just call Pat Remus, our team captain, at 215-662-3355. That's 215-662-3355. Together, we can make a difference.
This is Dr. Corey Bang, founder of the Abington Center for Therapy and Sports Psychology, conveniently located in Abington Township. I am an outpatient therapist, a professor of psychology, and an athlete having completed numerous endurance events, including the Ironman USA Triathlon. I have over 10 years of experience in the field of sports psychology. A sample of my specializations include reaching peak performance, setting effective goals, and eliminating performance anxiety. I work with athletes of all ages and abilities. At the Abington Center for Therapy and Sports Psychology, I will provide comprehensive, confidential, and specific treatment to each individual. Please contact me at the Abington Center for Therapy and Sports Psychology for a free phone consultation to see if I may be of assistance to you. The number is 215-884-7240. That's 215-884-7240. Also, feel free to learn more about us at www.abingtonpsychology.com.
Okay. We're back on Body, Mind, and Balance here at AM 860 WWDB. I'm Valerie Shinbaum, your host for today, and the topic is single in a married world, or to defer to Deb Reist, our married guest, married in a married world. So our phone number here in the studio is area 610-664-4100. Visit our website at www.bodymindandbalance.com. And today I have with me in the studio Brian Ramona, Adina Matiso, and Deb Reist. And we're talking about single in a married world, life experience. There's a good word. Adina just brought this up during the break. So she wants to know, she's asking,
how much experience is too much?
Or how much experience is too much or not enough? Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know that you can put quantifiers on that kind of a thing. One of my students, I told you all this story, one of my students the other night who's 19, she said, I can't wait to know I've met the one. And my response to her was, that's great. How are you going to know if he's the one unless you've gone out there and put your feet in the dating pool? So, what do you think, Adina?
I don't want to answer this question.
Yeah, okay. Anybody else?
I don't think you can ever know. I mean, you know when you know. It goes back right to that, the guys that that you know that went, oh, I loved her laugh. I knew right. She was the one the minute. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're the person is lucky, like your grandparents that were, you know,
11 and 12
that knew from that point they were right. The ones for each other.
They started dating at 16, but
took them 4 years to ask each other out, right?
Probably he had a parental approval at
that's
that
right.
point, but
maybe he was almost ready to drive at that point, you know?
Right? So yeah. I think, and Deb really brought up some good points about experience and how the right. the cumulative experiences can help prepare you for when you do encounter the person who is the quote-unquote right
that's
one
right.
or somebody that could end up being the right one. And now those experiences can be so many different things, too, because uh-huh. I know in my case, some of them were great. There were a lot of really, really bad ones and took me some time to recover, but came back more attuned to what I wanted.
I agree.
From that.
I agree. Deb, you said this best. I think you talked about how every experience teaches us something.
It teaches you something, and we talked about a relationship, and it has to go somewhere. But we said in the process of seeing that other person, you're already going somewhere. So there doesn't have to be the destination of, okay, this has to be a permanent relationship, and it has to last.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we really need to, in life in general, single or married, you need to experience, appreciate the people that you know and that are in your life and that make a difference for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good. I like, you had talked to us about this woman who wrote a book. Adina, you said that she was suggesting lots of different experiences, not a good thing necessarily. Did she say why?
She just said it could make you have a lot more baggage than necessary.
Okay. All right. Baggage is a big word.
Mm-hmm.
Baggage is a
Everyone
big word.
Everyone has baggage, even
Absolutely.
When they're little.
Absolutely. I think once you come out of the womb, you start accumulating baggage.
I agree.
And if you're lucky, it's a matched set of luggage. So, you know, and it fits. Somebody I know years ago said to me her touchstone for relationships was she was looking to find somebody whose baggage fit under the seat in front of her or in the overhead compartment. I thought that was cute. I think some of our baggage, yeah, you're right, Adina. It doesn't just start with dating. I think we even have baggage from children, which brings you to the second question you wrote down. How about when people are getting divorced? So you said, why are people getting divorced? So why are people getting divorced?
It's funny, but I think now people get divorced for different reasons than maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
20, 30 years ago, even 40 years ago, people did not get divorced.
Right.
And specifically didn't get. My parents are divorced now.
Mm-hmm.
They divorced when I was 30. Now they stay together for the kids. Now that was that was everybody back then. And you probably, all of us probably know somebody who has either parents or has people now that they know
mm-hmm.
that have stayed together for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They hate each other, haven't gotten mm-hmm. along in 10, 15 years, won't even talk to each other,
right.
but they're still together for that appearance. And that
right.
was very important back then. Now I think people are using divorce almost as a, you know what, I'm tired, I'm done, I want to move to something else, and they don't commit to the resources that they need to make a relationship last.
Right.
There's so much more transience in life today that
right.
I think people are taking that even into marriage, that they're allowing it to, that commitment to be more transient than it was 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Well, then when you use the words commitment and transient in the same sentence, that's almost an oxymoron.
That's true.
When you think about it, if you think about, I like to back it up. You know, a lot of times in my classroom discussions, we'll get into the whole thing about divorce, and we all have a lot to say about what divorce means for all of us. So I like to back up and I like to say, okay, wait a minute. Let's not focus so much on people who are already divorced. What I like to do is talk to people and say, what were you thinking when you made the decision to marry this person in the first place? And that's where I go with these conversations. If they're clients of mine, if they're students of mine, whatever the relationship I have with them, I'll ask them questions about, what were you thinking in the beginning? Where was that? Do you ever wish you could ask your parents that question?
No, they were happy. They had a happy marriage.
Yeah.
Didn't work out, and they're both found someone else.
Yeah.
And they're happy again. But I don't think that's a good example.
All right. But I ask that question to a lot of people. I'll say, what were you thinking? What were the reasons? Because if you want the answer to the question, why are people getting divorced? All three of us came up with answers for that question.
You know, I don't even have the guts to ask my parents that question. And, you know, it's funny. It's almost like I don't want to know. There's something probably mm-hmm. in the back of my head that says, gee, I don't know. I mean, because I always wonder that. And people ask me, well, how did your parents meet? I honestly don't know.
Oh, I'd want to know.
I do want to know, but there's part of me that doesn't want to ask the question because uh-huh. it could, you know, my father might go, I don't want to go talk about your mother, that kind of thing, you know? So it's almost like it's better to be ignorant and the ignorance
oh,
is
yeah?
bliss thing
yeah.
than know the truth. And it's funny, as my father now just turned 80, he starts to throw details at me of his life when uh-huh. he was younger and uh-huh. things come up like, oh, by the way, did you know that I was married before I was married to your mother? You know, things like that. Thank God my parents are 3,000 miles away and they're not hearing this because they would kill me. But it's funny how when you grow up in a home that was very difficult, you kind of don't want to go back there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were things that I had to go back there and ask about to get myself where I needed to be open to a relationship
mm-hmm.
because it goes to the baggage thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my baggage started when I watched my parents, and you start to develop that, gosh, if my parents do nothing but fight, is that what being married is about?
Exactly.
Because if that's what it's about, I don't want that.
Interesting. I like that you said that. My friend this morning was telling me that's part of her thing, too, is that she says she hears from people sometimes. She'll hear from people, they'll say, well, you're too picky, or, you know, you're looking for things that you're never going to find.
There's no such thing as too picky.
Thank you. Well, if my friend Lisa's listening to the show, good. See, you're hearing it from somebody else. There's no such thing as too picky. So I'll make sure I mention this to her. And I agree with you, and I've told her that too. And she says that herself, but she hears from other people, oh, you know, blah, 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 you're too picky, and da, da, da. And I disagree. I think you're right, Adina. I think there is no such thing. And around the baggage issue, one of the things that she will say is, she's only going to do this once. I'm with her. You're going to get married. Get married once.
Well, another thing this lady who wrote the book was saying was the reason... is so experience is so important in this day and age
uh-huh.
as the marriage age is getting older and older. How come people are still getting divorced? The divorce rate hasn't gone down.
Right. Right.
And I wish I knew the answer to that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm personally not in a rush.
I'd rather
not get married or get married really late and marry the right person
mm-hmm.
than have to.
Right.
Experience. I'd rather go through a breakup than a divorce.
Exactly. I think that's a really good attitude. How about you, Deb?
Well, I think a lot of people maybe aren't as strong as you. And mm-hmm. I think you do have to be strong because you have to know your own value. You have to know what you want. You're right. There's no such thing as too picky. And so many people like peer pressure and anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you should be married by now. Oh, you should have kids. And they just go ahead and marry the first person they meet. So therefore, eventually, it's not going to work because they're not really in love. And there's another divorce added to the statistics.
Yep.
But I still hear that stuff. I mean, sometimes I went to 3 weddings and I start thinking about my wedding. I mean, it's not necessarily going to be with the person I'm with now. It'd be nice. But who knows what's going to happen. And a lot of my friends, you know, they're single going to all these weddings or they just broke up with their boyfriends and they're really sad because... So it's, I mean, as much as I am strong and I'm independent and I... know what I want, I still have those feelings of well, what if I am not married? Even though, okay, what if I'm not married by 80? I mean, but.
Yeah, well, you'll need to have a will.
I'm not
you'll need to have like, a health care plan, and you'll need to have a, you know.
I'm not, I mean, I'm not really worried about it.
Good. It's a good place to be. Don't ever change that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there is pressure. Deb's right. There is pressure.
I feel the pressure.
Good. I'm glad you said that because you do. I know. I mean, I'm talking to 19-year-old girls because I teach college, and I hear from 19-year-old girls, they have to be married by the time they're 25. That's 1 year older than you are right now.
I don't want to be married by 25.
Right on. See? And I think that's incredible.
To each his own.
Right? To each his own. Absolutely. And yeah.
I was going to say, here's another thing to think about. Because you get married now, that doesn't mean that something's not going to happen and your spouse may die.
Right.
In 10 years, in 5 years.
Right.
So there's always going to be some kind of life change or adjustment that has to be made. Hopefully not something that sad, but you can never tell what's going to happen in the future. So if you're making a decision to get married now just to be married, not necessarily going to stay that way.
Right. You're right.
I personally think the only reason to get married is to have kids or to cohabit. I don't know. I guess I didn't mean to offend you.
Oh, no, not at all.
I don't know if I did. I mean,
no,
I think
no, you didn't. You
getting married
didn't.
Later in life, it might be like my dad just got married last August for a second time. And they're happy and I'm very happy for them. And sometimes it is important to the particular person. Mm-hmm. But I personally believe, at least being 24, there's no point in getting married unless I'm going to have kids. Cause, except for tax purposes, I guess.
Yeah. All right. And a lot of times for people who get married again, too, there's a very practical aspect about making medical decisions for somebody. When you get married in an older age, or even when you get married at a younger age, when you're with a life partner, the presumption is that this person will make medical decisions for you. And those of us who are aging, except for Brian, who's perennially 29.
29
right?
And holding.
Yeah, 29 and holding. There is that aspect to it. You know, you plan a life with somebody that is, if it extends out into the end of your life, you want to know that you are with someone you can trust to make medical decisions for you. That's a piece of it.
But you can ask your siblings, can't you?
If you get along with them, you can. Or if you have them.
That's true. I'm sure there's someone. Hopefully there's someone.
Well, that's the whole point.
And if you've built your support circle and you've met all those people along the way of your life, you definitely will have someone. You'll have more than enough people.
Right. That brings up a very good point that we were talking about earlier. Even if we find the right person to be with, again, I said this again, we're never going to, you can never expect for every single, absolutely every single need you're ever going to have to be met by that one person. So it's also important to think about support network, to be around other people, friends, family, Adina, like you pointed out, work colleagues. We move a lot. We're a transient society. You use that word transient, Brian. I think that's important for us to think about. So it means creating a skill set within us where we go into new circumstances, we change jobs, we start our own businesses, Deb, you know, and so much of our lives change all the time. And so it's important to think about who else we have in our lives, in addition to, hopefully, a romantic partner who works well with us. So we're going to talk about that more after the break. Network of support here at Body, Mind, and Balance at AM 860 WWDB. The topic is Single in a Married World. I'm your host, Valerie Shinbaum. Our call-in number is area 610-664-4100. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Anxious or feeling down? Struggling with relationship, family, or career issues? Wondering if you might have an addiction or eating disorder? If you answered yes to any of the above, then give me a call. I'm Valerie Shinbaum, a psychotherapist in private practice with over 14 years of clinical treatment experience. I'm a licensed professional counselor, a national certified counselor, and a master addictions counselor. I work with children ages 5 and up, adolescents, adults, couples, and families. Together in therapy, we can explore issues around parent-child conflict, marital and couple stressors, grief and loss, self-esteem building, divorce, and custody concerns. I'm available in 2 office locations, Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, and Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. Call me for more information or to schedule an appointment at 610-322-7829. Again, that number is 610-322-7829. I'm here to help you.
All right. Welcome back to Body, Mind, and Balance here at AM 860 WWDB. I'm Valerie Shinbaum, your host for today, and the topic is single in a married world. We're at area code 610-664-4100. Visit us on the website at www.bodymindandbalance.com. I'm here in the studio with my guests, Deb Reese, Brian Ramona, and Adina Matiso, and a very good question just came up. What do we tell people about, well, we're talking about network of support when we went to the break, and now we're talking about, you know, people move around a lot, don't they, for random jobs, like you said. So when you go to college, Dina, you were saying you have all these built-in friends, you have all these different networks and stuff, then you graduate, and you scatter to the four corners of the world, and then lives change. People move to a new place.
People always ask me this when they move it to different cities, and I'd always say, why don't you join a group? I mean, it could be a softball team, it could mm-hmm. be...
Bicycle club.
It doesn't have to be sports. It could be...
theater group, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Dungeons and Dragons club. I don't know. I just had to go somewhere nerdy. No offense to anyone.
No. I know people who play Dungeons and Dragons.
There's lots of different groups out there. And then there's also the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to be careful with that. But there are a lot of... that article and that Newsweek article that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
It said that women in their 40s... are more likely to get hit by a terrorist attack than get married.
Right.
But the, which is ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
But the statistics have gone down, or I mean, they've gone up. They have more of a chance now because of the internet.
Right. That's true. That article, I can remember when that article came out, and I remember watching a Designing Women episode, and that article was highlighted. That was a very big deal. I don't know how, were you even born yet?
It was 20 years ago.
Yeah. I'm 24. You were four. Okay. But I can remember. Do you remember that article? The rest of us here, I remember
it,
that article.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah. And you still hear everybody talk about it all
Absolutely.
The time. So I'm very glad that it didn't turn out to be the case.
That's right. Because that was a very big deal. I mean, it was basically women bashing, and it was such a backlash to feminism, too, because the whole point was feminists were coming into the workforce in larger numbers. It was the idea about equal pay for equal work. This was a huge backlash issue for women who were then sent spinning into this morass of insecurity about, oh, my God. So if I focused on my career and now I'm 35, I don't have a prayer. There's not a chance for me to ever have kids or a man because I'm 35 and therefore I'll be hit by a terrorist and my life will be over. But I have this big career in a penthouse. How horrible. So I'm glad you brought that up because I'm glad this article was written. And I said to you before the show, several students mentioned it to me. A couple people have talked to me about the article in Newsweek. It was Newsweek, just to reference it. Newsweek, June 4th, 2006, if anyone's interested in reading it. So when people move around, okay, and they leave the area, they have to get up and change careers or they start a business of their own, right? It means that we have to be aware of having... like you said, joining a group, having a skill set to move ourselves a little bit, right?
I did that. I mean, I grew up in California, and then 26 years old, in 10 days, I had uprooted my life to move to Massachusetts to start my career at the time in radio and television. And, you know, you leave your support system behind, and you go to I've had people tell me, oh, I could never do that. I could never be that far from my family or my friends. And sometimes you need to do that to empower yourself to grow. Mm-hmm. And I know I needed it to grow because I was held back if I had stayed where I was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult to make those changes in your life, but it also helps you liberate who you are and, mm-hmm. and find who you are.
Right. Now, Deb, one thing I want to ask you about, I know that as a married person with a child, do you ever find that, how can I explain this? You're in two different worlds, I think, because you have your own business, and so you're out there doing the business, and that gets you in touch with a lot of other people. But I know that sometimes married people with children find themselves only socializing with the parents of their children's friends.
That does happen with a lot of people. I actually have, and again, maybe because I'm the person I am and I stayed single so long, so many of my friends are still single.
Mm-hmm.
I see them. I see their groups of friends. I really have a mixed bag. The support,
yeah.
And with the business, you're meeting business people that could be married, could be single.
Right.
I'm not the kind of person that just goes to the PTA meetings and hangs around with the parents or the soccer moms. You do that a little bit, but you don't do it a lot.
Right. Yeah, because I know people. I belong to a gym that has a lot of mothers. I go in the morning. I work for myself, so I have a different kind of schedule, and I can go to the gym in the morning. And you hear these mothers talking about their children, and all the different things they're talking about, you know, what teacher does their child have and this, that, and the other thing. And, oh, my goodness, is this really all they ever talk about? And, wow, that must be amazing when you only have, because I'm like you, Deb, I don't only have that one set of friends of one type of activity. Right. There's so many different things that I do.
Right. I was hoping we could go back to talking about people who are single in their later 30s.
Okay, singlehood in their later 30s?
You know, or just people who, where their time clocks are ticking,
okay.
Women.
All right, yes, good, honestly. good.
But I find my friends, I work in an organization with many singles, and people are always saying, well, what's wrong with him? Why is he still single at 39? He's good looking, he makes a decent amount of money. Or vice versa, the other way around.
That's
the woman,
right.
She's successful.
Right.
She must be crazy.
Or a lesbian, as I said earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
maybe they just aren't settling. So maybe
exactly.
We need to respect them more.
I agree. I'm with you. You said yourself, you're the one who said there's no such thing as being too picky, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
I think there's just too many answers. I mean, it's you can't pigeonhole it into one. You can't say that just because somebody's 40 and not married, it's because they are homosexual, or that they are successful in their career. Maybe they just were not in a place where they were ready for that. I mean, there's so many different answers, mm-hmm. and it goes to also how come people get divorced? There's so many different answers to that. If you pigeonhole the whole set, that's why this, like you said at the beginning, this could be a 500-hour show because there are so many aspects to the subject. But I think, you know, and it breaks down a lot of times on gender lines, too.
Right.
Because that whole, me at 48 being still single, a lot of guys are like, oh, you lucky dog, you.
Uh-huh.
If I were a woman like yourself, 46, you get the negative connotation of, oh, God, you poor thing.
Right.
You know, what happened to you?
Uh-huh.
And that's not fair, but unfortunately, that's the perception of society a little bit.
Still.
Yeah.
Still. And when I was Adina's age, it was still that way. And here I am 20 years later, and it's still that way. And if I'm on my soapbox about one thing, it's about helping to do whatever I can in whatever way I have to hope to make more changes with that. So maybe the divorce rate will drop eventually. You know, maybe shows like this, maybe articles like the ones you write, Adina. Maybe the fact that more and more women are going in business for themselves, Deb, like you. And Brian, you know, you didn't get married at like, you know, 9. So I think these are all good things. You know, we're not necessarily atypical, any of us sitting in here. I think we're much more in the mainstream than maybe it would have been 20 years ago. So that's a good thing, I think. Just my opinion.
Well, I think that, and that's proven. I think you're right. I think we are now more mainstream. It's not as much of the scarlet letter,
right,
to be single.
No,
you know, it's more, and I think Adina's I hope that all young people are as healthy attitude wise as Adina is, because she knows who she is, she knows what she wants, and she's not gonna, she has goals, and goals are good to have. That I'd like to have by
right
34, I'd like to have a child, but I think
bringing that up
or
again.
80,
yeah, or 80. But like, I think if you say it as I'd like it to be that way, not right. My I'm gonna have by
because I must have right.
I'd like to be here. I'd right. like to be there. But if things happen differently, or you move to a different city, or you meet somebody else, all bets are off.
I know I'll be okay no matter what, even
absolutely.
If it doesn't happen by 34.
That is so awesome.
I wish I'd been that way at 24.
Me too. I wish I had been like that. How about you? Well, you know you were like
I
that.
I was like that.
Yeah,
it definitely
maniac.
Helps. It definitely helps overanalyzing myself in these articles.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. See, Deb, you were an anomaly. See, you were a rarity.
I was ahead of my time.
You were
I suppose.
Ahead of your time. Good for you.
But it was just the right thing for me. I think we're all
awesome.
Different. We all have different personalities.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's right for me isn't right for everybody. So we kind of play it the best we can.
That's awesome. Well, I want to say thank you to all three of you for being on this incredible show. And you're right. We could have been, I still say the same thing. We could do 500 hours on this topic. I want to say thank you to Adina Matiso, Brian Ramona, and Deb Reese for being my guest today. I'm Valerie Shinbaum. This has been Body, Mind, and Balance at AM 860 WWDB. Visit our website at www.bodymindandbalance.com. Don't forget to join Dr. Corey Bank for his show next week on Saturday, June 17th from 4 to 5. Once again, Body, Mind, and Balance, www.bodymindandbalance.com. Thanks for listening.
AM 860 is WWDB Philadelphia, the Delaware Valley's only money talk radio.